Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, everyone. I'm with Valerie O'Neill today, and Valerie is a Logan businesswoman who in the past 3 years has created an extremely successful business services and bookkeeping business. And starting with not knowing anyone in Brisbane,
Thank you.
Having no networks.
That's right.
Originally from Canberra and lived there most of her adult life, Valerie and her husband moved to Brisbane in 2008 to be close to one of their daughters and sons. And still creating friendships groups themselves, which is interesting when you're shifting as an adult, as
it
people
is.
Who've done that before.
Yeah.
After working in accounting and finance and business service management roles for government departments and not-for-profits, corporate bodies across treasury, education, energy resources and transport industries, Valerie decided to leave the paid workforce when one person of somewhat dubious personal ethics at a last place of employment here in Brisbane started to take up too much headspace at 3 a.m. each morning.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure lots of people can relate to that.
I know
a lot of our people that listen to the podcast have come from corporate and into their own business and for those reasons in particular.
Yeah, absolutely.
This person wasn't part of the staff but was in fact the board of directors. So it's a little bit harder to deal with then as well,
isn't it? Absolutely.
And not covered by provisions for harassment and other poor behaviours.
No.
Like many other women aged in their 50s, and not just 50s, Valerie, it's a lot of ages for women, real employment options had all but disappeared. So you decided to invent your own workplace.
Oh, I did.
That's very cool. And the reasons that you've taken a little bit longer is to work with people, is to get away from people who essentially hurt others to get what they want, or to avoid those people.
That's right.
Yeah. I think that's really crucial for all of us to be aware of.
I think so.
As I said, a lot of people who do listen to the podcast have come from situations like that, so I can relate to where you are now. So putting together a package of qualifications, experience, skills, interests and passions, Valerie developed at first a bookkeeping practice and more recently has expanded into a business called Absolutely Admin, offering bookkeeping services as well as administrative services agency to small businesses in the Logan region. And that's something that being able to start your own business and how great was it to be able to go through and recognise all the skills that you had that you're able to take into something else?
It was quite a process, to be honest, because, you know, when you're good at something, you don't really recognise that there's knowledge there. You just think it's innate in yourself and therefore everybody else. And it took a while to hear other people telling me that actually, no, they don't know that stuff and it is special knowledge. So I finally accepted that and then decided that I do have real understanding and skills of the simplicity of money transactions. And, you know, that really helps some people just.
It's a special group of people, Valerie, who can do that, I assure you. And I know that by having your own business, it does allow you to follow your passions now of helping people simply understand their financial transactions and obligations. Yeah. That's an important word, obligations, and I think that's something that we're definitely going to cover today with women in business who recognise that they have those obligations.
That's right.
And can't just be all about their business product. What are the barriers to growth? And now for you to, you know, be able to operate essentially from anywhere, which is very cool. I know a lot of us would like to do that. And the goal is to be able to visit your daughter and grandchildren who live in WA at least four times a year.
That's right.
And still being available for your clients, which
that's
is really crucial as well.
Yeah.
So I know we've read a little bit and discussed about why you got into it, but, you know, all of us have a why of what we do and what we're passionate about. Yeah. So can you share that, please, Valerie?
I guess I've married two whys together. I love helping people. I get a kick out of somebody getting a win for themselves out of something that I've shown them how to do, or I've explained to them well enough that they've actually understood it. And I'm not talking about debits and credits, you know, that's just way over the top. But I see people who are held back by not understanding something about money, about, you know, financial transactions. Everybody considers now that there's all of these lovely software packages around that, you know, everybody can do it themselves, everybody understands, and that's just not true. I've had women sitting across the desk from me in tears because their husband has believed a salesperson when they've been told, oh, yes, no, you can do this yourself. Well, if I can do it myself, the wife can.
the role we're placed into.
That's it. That's it. And I married that desire to help. Well, that, I guess that's a skill, but I do love to do that. So I guess that's my why. I love to do it. Something happened in my life years and years ago when someone I loved died because essentially he was hurt in his workplace by people. I've had a long time to think about that and how that all transpired. And so I actually have got very firm beliefs in what a business or an organisation should be there to do, should be allowed to do. And to me, it's all about people. It's not about making money. It's about people. And if there's, you know, people should be allowed to achieve whatever they can achieve. They shouldn't be held back. They shouldn't be hurt. And no employer has the right to hurt an employee. No company has a right to hurt an environment and make profits out of it. You know, in an economic sense, that's that ecological, I'm sure there's a name for it. But
yeah, ecological is great name.
Yeah, yeah, that sense of digging into the earth to make profits but then not correcting what you've done. There's always, it seems to me, a price that's never ever paid, and that in the ecological sense can be the need for reformation of land. Well, what about the reformation of employees' health, mental health, and that sort of thing after employees have been, you know, really badly hurt, stressed, and I'm sure we all know people who've been treated badly in a workplace. There is bullying, but there's corporate bullying. There's structures that have been set up since corporations began that essentially have hurt the employee, and that profits have been made at the expense of the people who are in it. So obviously when someone close to you is that badly hurt that they die because of those sorts of pressures, it becomes quite special. And I'm very good at spotting it, very good at pinning down that's something that's going on. So whilst that's not something that I have incorporated into a business of my own, it is part of my why, because I can come in and look at your administrative system and perhaps see where your business might be being hurt by having an inappropriate person answering your phone. You know, which doesn't, it's not on the same line as an employer hurting an employee, but there are occasions when an employee's attitude or lack of education or just inappropriateness for a particular role, where that can hurt a business. So it works both ways. I just seem to be able to spot it.
It's very unique because it's not normally, you know, probably when I introduced you, the people listening to this podcast are going, yay, bookkeeping. Yay. Yeah, it's so much fun. But as we know, though, it is crucial. But to be able to come into that space in recognizing that it, you know, looking after a business has got a whole lot of components to it, and the people are an important component as well. Mm. So being able to get the processes right through to the bookkeeping, then it's going to make a successful business where people want to be and people want to work.
That's right. Absolutely. Because if they don't, if they don't want to be there, if they don't like it, you're not going to get the best out of them.
No.
The other side of the coin is if it's you and you alone, and if you've got a box full of paper that you're gathering together and you know you've got to deal with it because you're the only person who can, let's face it, you're the only person who can deal with those pieces of paper, but you've got six boxes now, and it's getting to the point where if you don't go out and chase that contact down because it's going to lead to more paperwork, then you're the one who's hurting your business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that builds a lot of stress too when we've got those boxes of paperwork, because I know I work with a whole lot of clients from a whole range of industries, you know, from acupuncturists to sports trainers to professional athletes, you know, across the whole gamut. And some are quite good at the systems thing and others not so.
That's
and
right.
they're beautiful and amazing in their businesses, but to put that extra stress on yourself by trying to be all and end all. And as you know, we've discussed, that's one of the barriers to success.
That's right.
By trying to be working in isolation and trying to be all to everybody.
Absolutely.
Now, particularly who do you work for? You've just mentioned the small businesses.
Okay. I like to work with small businesses, and that's who I chose to target, mainly because larger businesses can afford their own full-time finance manager. That's the sort of role I used to do. So well, I considered that I had all of that down pat so I could, you know, carve up my time and sell it to small businesses. But the other side of that is that small businesses, they're the ones who need the qualified assistance, that don't perhaps know that it's around, that think that they've got to handle those sorts of managerial type roles. And to a small business person, they perhaps don't like sharing managerial type functions, but management of your admin and your financial systems is very important. It's key to success, and I can help take the stress out of it for you.
Yeah, and I know we've had this discussion before. My son's electrician, and everything's, it's not even a box on the front seat of the car.
It's
all everywhere. And there's obviously that need there for that. Those and I know you do work with trade people as well, and sole operators and, and
I've
professionals.
I've been married to a tradie for a long time. I do work with them.
So there must be certain things that people come to you and say, this is my biggest problem. You know, if you were going to say, you know, say the three biggest pain points for people in small business or having their own business, what would they be?
Well, it's interesting. I can see three different pain points than that perhaps that they're willing to acknowledge exist. They'll come and say, oh, I'm behind in my BAS. I need to catch up, or I haven't done my BAS for 10 years and I can need your help. Can you do this for me? That is to me a symptom, but not the real problem. The real problem is you, really. You're so caught up in your business, in your passion for what you do, and you probably do it really, really well. But you consider that you're the only one who understands, and really and truly you can't quite afford to pay somebody else to come along and do it for you. So you'll do it tonight after work. Well, tonight comes and you go home and there's the family. Now, who do you spend time with? You should be spending time with your family, but oh no, you've got that paperwork to do. And so then you push aside, you know, a corner of the dining room table, and you do your paperwork there if you do it. Now, if it's midnight already when you get home, you toss it in the box and you'll get to it tomorrow or on the weekend. So the pain points are having too many of those boxes, because those boxes represent headaches in your head. It's real. There's so much fear that people build up around those boxes. Anyway, so that's a pain point, and it's very physical pain. The other pain is that when you need to find something, you can't find it. if it's in which box, you know it's in a box because you very carefully put it there, which box is it in? Can you find that insurance policy? Are you actually covered for that particular event? Oh, my goodness, I can't find it. And when is my lease due? And what does the landlord have to pay for? Those are serious business type questions. What did that person sign on for in my contract? Did they agree to do how many services in a year? Was it 12? Was it 13? Should they be back because the grass has grown quicker than what we thought about 3 years ago when we signed the contract? Where's that contract? So yeah. If they can't find documents that they need.
And the amount of time that they spend looking for documents as well is just a waste of time in your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's something that you do is help people sort their stuff.
Sort it out, and not just sort it out physically but classify it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's important, what's not. Mm. Do you have to keep it? Often you don't. If you've got it on your hard drive, it's terrific. Mm. You know the biggest pain point? When you've got all those boxes, you know what you really fear? The tax man. When have I got to do it?
Mm.
Oh, gosh. Sure. Have I got to do my BAS? Am I registered for it? What am I supposed to put on my invoice? Oh, are there laws about that? I didn't know. You should hear some of the things I hear. I had a man come to me recently from a referral from a lovely friend. He didn't know. He had to have an ABN. He didn't know that he had to be a BAS. And, you know, not only has he, you know, he's turned over enough, he had to be registered for GST. So here's this man blithely, happily creating his own business and didn't know there were all these laws around it. Then he brought the Aldi freezer bag full of little receipts because he kept every single receipt for every lunch he's bought in the last 12 months. So there's a kick there. But to me, I think that's funny. But it's the tax man. It's when is your BAS due? Are they going to fine me if I'm late? How much do I have to pay? Oh, what are all of these other... Is there something else that I've missed? Have I received something that I should have responded to by a certain date and that I haven't? Now, those are the sorts of things that all wake a business person up in the middle of the night.
That's what I was actually going to add. That's exactly what happens, isn't it, when people go, oh, my goodness, have I done it and where am I going to find it?
That's right. And
I know, obviously, with that much pressure, you know, that would have to be a pain point too, is relationships.
Yes, absolutely. Well, relationships, that's it. I think... that's your first indicator that when the people around you are starting to tell you that there's something's not right. And, you know, that can be devastating.
Mm. And getting those priorities right.
Yeah.
And you touched on it then, but, you know, the tax laws and non-compliance, that would have to be a biggie as well because we really do want to make sure, you know, imagine we'd want to make sure we know that we have to operate with an ABN.
Absolutely.
How do you get paid?
That's it. Well, you know, there are people out there who don't know that they're not supposed to.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
So with all those pains, there has to be some benefits and prizes, you know, that that once you get these things organised, what happens?
Okay, so once you do get on top of the dreaded paperwork and you've got some systems in place that you've got reminders, you've got, you know, either someone on tap who will remind you that something's due or you've got a system in place that you can see it pops up on some system. Once that's all in place, then guess what? You're not stressed anymore. You can go out and get more business. Isn't that wonderful? You can grow your business and so be more successful in doing things that you like to do rather than worrying, you know, wasting precious time and energy on worrying.
That word productive has popped into my mind.
Yes, that word productive. Productivity increases. That's the end result of having no disorder.
Just taking it back a step and not even, you know, looking at the paperwork. Mm. I know my husband shares my office when I allow him one day a week.
Yep.
And being able to find things after he's moved out, it's impossible. And I couldn't imagine that all the time within business and with paperwork and finding the things that you've talked about and the time wasted and the stress around that.
That's right.
So how do you do it? And I know you've talked to me about paperless office before.
Yeah.
I'm a paper person.
Yeah.
But, look, there are other options for other people that like to do things a different way.
That's right. I found the paperless office documentation one day, and I said, that's it, that's what I'm after, that's what I've been looking for to try and to be able to put in place. And people go, oh, yeah, what a joke, it'll never be paperless. Well, maybe we won't be, but we can go a long way towards it, let me tell you. Basically, what it is about is digitizing all of those pieces of paper, which means get it into a PDF and put it on your computer. Now, computers are clever. They can search for things. If you've got a reliable, consistent naming convention worked out for yourself, and, you know, we all have our own versions, but where does your mind go when you're looking for something? Oh, I remember that name or that date or that amount. Then put that in the title of the document. Set yourself up an area in your hard drive for documentation that you want to be able to find one day. If you're like me, as an accountant, I may know I have years set aside. You don't have to go to that extent, but set up some sort of structure. You know, if a filing cabinet is the way you think about, you know, storage things, then set yourself up an electronic filing cabinet for things that's possible you'll never ever go back to. But I tell you what, the way things are now, the ATO is moving towards digital electronic lodgement of everything. The way accounting systems are working now, they upload your bank statement. You can upload PDFs of your bills. They marry transactions together. There is no data entry. To me, nirvana, just forgive me because I know I'm a strange person, nirvana is never having to data enter something more than once. You should only ever enter something once. Then everything else points to that.
Yeah, and that again, that increases productivity, doesn't
that's right.
it?
Yeah.
By having those systems
absolutely
in place.
Yeah.
So you could do everything, couldn't it? From bank accounts,
yep.
Your loan information,
your
insurance
bank statements.
Policies.
How many folders have you got full of bank statements that go back 38 years that you'll never ever look at again? But you can carry it around on a computer.
Mm.
You can put it on a portable disk drive thingy and store them away. They're a lot easier to store than all of those boxes of paper.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, as a business person, if you're going to rely on, and this is ATO law, if you're going to rely on electronic copies of receipts, you must take steps to have a backup, secure backup of your electronic data, which means, you know, either the thumb drive and put it in your pocket. It means having the portable disk drives. It means Dropbox, all of those things. Or if you need to have Australian protection because of some, you know, legislative thing, there are Australian data storage places available for not expensive prices.
Okay.
So all of that's available. Now, if you're, as a business, going to rely on those sorts of things, then you must take steps to back up.
Right. Just finally talking about the cloud and making sure that we back up everything, not necessarily in the cloud, but the importance of backing up every bit of information that we've got, because the ATO and other authorities are going to come looking for it one day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
maybe.
You are.
I am.
They're going to ask for it. You need to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where are we going to put it?
We're going to put it on our computers. And because we're going to put it on our computers, we have to, as you said, back it up, make sure we've got another copy. That's a security risk. And we all do that anyway. We all very security conscious in our businesses, and it's just another security measure that we will have to take.
Just going to interrupt. I said we all do it anyway. I think that the we all means people who have been caught out once by not backing up and then backing up because they go, that's never going to happen to me again.
That's it. It's the person who has spent 2.5 hours on a Word document but then doesn't save it. It's the person who sees a neighbour get caught out by something like that. We don't have to have it happen to us to understand the need for it. It is a business risk, and it's something that we should mediate, which is just simply arranging Dropbox or a thumb drive or a portable disk drive, or if for some reason your business has some legislative requirement for Australian-based data storage, then there are places around locally. So, you know, you can get the right thing for you. The thing is, you must have it. Places like the ATO won't listen to, oh, there was a flood and we lost everything. They simply won't accept that anymore.
So the dog ate my homework. Excuse, no, not going to work?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Poor dog. No more homework to eat.
And obviously there's, you know, we've talked about the pros and cons about doing that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Now, the process of doing it is how do we know how to, I mean, we just talked about one topic here now, and I know we're going to finish with a couple of other tips as well to take away, but the process of knowing how to do it, because as we said earlier, this is not everybody's cup of tea, let alone expertise. How do we learn how to do this?
Okay.
Maybe we don't, you know, necessarily want to get your services, but we want to be able to have a handle on it ourselves.
You're quite capable of doing it yourselves, yeah. We'll be running some workshops and presentations to cover the aspects of creating digital storage of all of this information that once upon a time a lot of us would have put into a folder or a filing cabinet. So now I'm just proposing that you put it in a filing cabinet on the desk in the hard drive. It's all about what you name your documents, how you name them, where you put them. Your computer must be able to search for them, and the whole idea really is just you pop your documents onto a scanner, you scan it, you save it. It's that simple. You must remember the reliability of the thing you name it. But, you know, after people are pretty good with, oh, yes, I keep my documents about insurance in the third drawer down in the folder called car. You'll get the same thing with the hard drive. You'll know where it is. The thing is that your computer can search for it. Mm. So it's those search words. It's getting used to the search words and the tag lines that you put on things that, you know, you can go and find documents against.
So you'll be running those workshops just face-to-face or webinars and that type of process as well?
It's all still a work in progress, but, yes, there'll be some workshops. There's, we're actually doing some meetups with another colleague fairly soon, and the website is still in progress, and it will also have some tips. But yes, I like to share things I hear that work for me, and I'll often come out with, oh, go and try this and go and try that, and this is so quick. So that's all about using things that are available quickly to stop being worried about, you know, just free yourself of the stress of it.
And I know you've mentioned to me before about, you know, outsourcing. So that to me makes more sense when it comes to doing paperwork.
Yeah.
So suggestions about the different types of outsourcing we could do and where we'd find people.
Okay. So
where we'd find people that we know they can do what they tell us they do, and how do we even search qualifications is probably very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's something that I've decided to take on and create this agency arrangement. That's what the Absolute Admin is all about, really, is finding people with admin skills, with the desire to not work in employment, but to become, you know, self-operating business people themselves, who with appropriate skills and training, and I guess quality background, and with business people who are willing to let go of doing things themselves and just having someone come in, even if it's only a couple of hours a month, you know, just getting on top of the big backlog that's there, and then maintaining it at a reliable, workable level, you know, as I say, 1 or 2 hours a month. It's amazing the difference that it can make. Yeah.
So that's a point just for what you're looking for as well. So you're obviously looking for people, reputable people that you can include in your team.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously clients that want to take it up. But that's anyone that's got those capabilities as well would obviously like to hear from you too, Valerie.
That's right.
So silly mistakes that people make. What – and I imagine, you know, it's like anything in business that we do is mistakes. So always good learning opportunities, but they usually cost us time and money. So so what – say, give me three mistakes that you see people make all the time.
Okay. So I see people who take their advice from their next-door neighbour rather than the local expert. Everybody's got – an opinion on bookkeepers. Everybody knows what a bookkeeper do, don't they? Yeah, no, they don't. everybody knows how to look after a bank account. No, they don't. It's really, you know, it's the boxes of paper that you're not going to admit you've got. It's not using the stuff you've already got. We've all got computers. They're powerful, powerful tools. But some of us will go around and say, oh, no, I don't like the cloud. What about the security? Well, I ask those people, do you use email? Do you use internet banking? Now, if you answer yes to either one of those, you're using the cloud. And, you know.
I just have to tell you a story where email, my husband still doesn't get where it goes and how it gets there for free. I'd say he brings that up nearly every single day. So how does this work? I don't know. It just
does.
Press send.
Yeah. The little fellas in the background and, they grow little leggies and they run all the way to the – yeah, sure. And it's not free because you're paying your ISP, just so you know. But it feels free, doesn't it? I think they're the biggest mistakes is accepting the advice of the person at the supermarket more readily than an expert.
Look, I find that all the time in my coaching business that people will, you know, feel that they – and I look, unfortunately, I find that more so with women, that mindset of having to be able to do it all yourself and be able to cope with it all yourself. And look, we tend to invest, we tend to spend more on our children than we invest in ourselves.
That's right.
And it's very interesting. Someone brought it to my attention the other day and they actually reframed it and they said, so let me just get this. That person thinks they're not worthwhile enough to be invested in. And it really hit home with me. So, again, with that, you know, when you're in business, if your business isn't your bookkeeping, you're mad to be trying to do it yourself and pretty wasting much. Time. And it's one of those things that we're always short of time in our own business and to be able to continue to do the bookkeeping.
That's right.
So the buying mistakes then, let me just get that, is taking advice from someone else because people do think they know what they're doing and listening to other people's opinion. I think that would have to be a mistake as well. Facebook experts or social media experts. It's other people's advice and ideas, isn't it? You don't need to do that. You don't need to spend that money. Go overseas. You know, you can get somebody to do that.
So cheap.
They are. Yes. They are really cheap. Now, I've been working with one particular graphic artist for a while and we're getting there, but it's taking a lot of interaction and a lot of explanation to get what I want. Yep. And I can't imagine doing that with my finances. It's okay to get a booklet designed, but to do it with your finances, that just wouldn't work for me personally.
No.
And the just what else? Trying lots of different apps and not getting results. Again, it's searching for something rather than going, this is the expert, this is where I'll go and get some advice that I know. And knowing what your accounting program to buy if you're doing it yourself as well. I mean, that's really important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So the symmetry of those methods and mistakes is to be able to solve the mistakes you're making that we mentioned and take from undervaluing your other stuff you're doing, or and undervaluing the importance of being organized and the paperwork and, and the administration work and the accounting work as just a peripheral, and realizing that having that organized, how much value that brings to your business.
Oh, well, even in reduction of stress levels, if nothing else, it frees you up, frees up your mind, gives you more attention units to go out and sell your own business.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a whole lot of framework within that too of how you restructure your business to be able to take it to another level. So I imagine and you can't do that unless you've got systems in place and this sort of level of organization in place as well. So Valerie, have you got any particular offers that you do want to share with the listeners?
Given my business is very, very new and I'm still getting things together, the offer that I have is that if you think that I can help you, if it's possible, if at all in any way, you can call me or contact me, and we'll sit down. We'll come and have a coffee and sit down and we'll just talk it through. Now, that first visit, completely free, you know, and we can just work out whether it's a feasible thing or not for you.
That's a good offer. I mean, I travel from anywhere. It'd be hard to get that sort of advice for free. So great offer. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then being able to build on that. And also, as we mentioned before, if anyone has got those administration capabilities, looking for that to build your team as well.
So sure. That's right.
Yeah. You can develop it.
So. Jump on board.
And your website address is?
www.absolutelyadmin.com.au.
So that's absolutelyadmin.com.au. And we've been speaking to Valerie O'Neill, and great advice. Thank you, Valerie.
Thank you.
And I'm sure the listeners will make sure that they possibly get a little bit more organized with their bookkeeping and their accounting practices and and just get rid of that headache.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Thanks, Valerie.
Thank you, Janine.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.